This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. BOGO is back for 1 week only. For allergies, pet smells, or any odor you need to get rid of, you need the Thunderstorm Air Purifier. Get the Eden Pure Thunderstorm today at EdenPureDeals.com with code Howie. That's EdenPureDeals.com, code Howie.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
The Millennial with the Mic is the most listened to midday show in Boston.
We got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. We do have a lot to get to today. Updates on the Biden booming economy. Updates on Joe Biden canceling student loan debt, allegedly, depending on how much money you make. And, of course, Dave Chappelle being attacked on stage last night during a comedy set. And there were jokes. There were jokes that maybe it was Will Smith who stormed the stage, but it was not. It was not. But we are talking about the abortion debate right now. What is happening? The Democrats are freaking out about this. And I want to play a cut and stay on the lines. I see everyone on the lines. The number is 844-500-4242. We're going to tackle it all, and I want to hear from you. But first, I want to hear from the president. And I just want to remind people, I don't think we can say this enough. This is a guy who promised us a few things when he became president, when he was voted for by 81 million people. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. He told us that he was going to unify the country, which, have you looked around lately? Can't you feel it? We're all friends again. He told us he was going to bring back normalcy, which I don't know about that. I mean, watching the president be escorted out by people and, you know, walking into bushes and sticking his face into bowls of ice cream and being led around by the Easter Bunny, that's not my idea of normalcy, but I guess normalcy is like in the eye of the beholder. But mostly he told us he was going to bring us all together, you know, and he was going to be president of not just the red states and the blue states, but of all people, you know, of all Americans. And yet, he seems to be intent on dividing even further. Let's have Joe Biden talking about, and I'm assuming this was in regards to the leaked SCOTUS draft. Do I have that right? This was Joe Biden's comments.
Because this MAGA crowd is really the most extreme political organization that's existed in American history, in recent American history.
Nice. This MAGA crowd, spoken like someone who's really trying to unify the country. And yesterday he made an even weirder comment when he talked about how abortion involves aborting a child, which, again, I do not think was part of the talking points that he was given by who's ever in charge of that outfit at the White House. So beyond that, though, he's not the only one. Kamala Harris went out and she was talking. Let's have this cut from Kamala Harris, because I just think it's disgraceful how these people, Kamala Harris, Joe Biden, these Democrats, they have zero interest in answering questions on, I don't know, the border, the economy, the Afghanistan withdrawal, anything. It's like, that was 5 days ago. That was last week. Oh, we're moving on. We don't want to confuse the American people. We're staying on the subject. But if they think there is a chance to whip their voters into a frenzy, they stampede towards the cameras. They cannot find the light fast enough. They are ready for their close-up, Mr. DeMille. She's never been to Europe, but she will never miss an opportunity to get in front of a camera if it means scoring cheap political points. And this is the woman who's like supposedly the border czar, but she has no time to get to the root cause of migration. She has time to do this. Let's hear from Kamala Harris.
Women would lose access to abortion immediately and outright. Those Republican leaders who are trying to weaponize the use of the law against women, well, we say, how dare they? How dare they tell a woman what she can do and cannot do with her own body? How dare they? How dare they try to stop her from determining her own future? How dare they try to deny women their rights and their freedoms? How dare you?
Yeah, I think Greta Thunberg did it better. I'm going to be honest. I don't know who's worse, her or Elizabeth Warren. Because both of them, they've got that nasally voice, but...
Warren is worse because she's at least a lower octave.
Yeah.
And she's not as whiny. Like, Warren is whiny.
Warren's got the cowardly lion effect, you know?
Yeah.
Why are you wanna... It's got kind of like a vibrato at the end.
Put him up.
Yeah, fake tough guy alert. They're all fake tough guys today. That is for sure. But let's go to the callers here. We'll take calls on this. We'll also talk about Dave Chappelle. We'll talk about the economy. And I want to read you just a little bit from my favorite article of the day from The Federalist. But let's go to Eddie. You're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Eddie.
Yeah, hi, Grace. Thanks for taking my call. We're all extremists, I guess, what Biden says. But here's the deal. They try to do global warming as a religion, but the American people wouldn't bite, right?
Right.
So now they have abortion, which is their ultimate religion, right? And Elizabeth Warren, that 77 or whatever she is, old bag, hag, is one of the high priestess, right? And then Chuck Schumer comes out and says, this is a sacred right. What, sticking a needle to a grown baby's head is a sacred right? These people are godless. They have no judgment at all as far as what's right and wrong because they're godless, okay? They have no conscience. They have nothing.
Well, okay, so now I'm not going to agree with that, but I'm also going to read something that might support that stance. Okay, Eddie? And I've been wanting to read this. I kind of steer clear sometimes of reading too much on the show. Because I've gotten backlash on it, but this one is really good. So I want everyone to listen to this and then we'll go right back to the calls. This is John Daniel Davidson. I'm a big fan of his stuff and I'm just going to take bits and pieces, but he says, what's clear already is that the left is willing to destroy every institution of American civic life to preserve their abortion regime. The day after the leak, the president of the United States, a man who once pushed for a constitutional amendment to overturn Roe. Do we have that cut, Jared? Let's play that flashback before I continue. This is Joe Biden, way back one.
Life begins at conception. That's the church's judgment. I accept it in my personal life. But I refuse to impose it on equally devout Christians and Muslims and Jews. And I just refuse to impose that on others.
So Joe Biden has since surrendered to the demands of his party's left wing, and he took the extraordinary step of weighing in on an undecided Supreme Court case. He didn't, as far as I could tell, he didn't say anything about the fact that someone leaked this and how unprecedented that is. The upshot is that it seems Democrats are prepared to use every available tool at their disposal to intimidate the Supreme Court and bend it to their will. It is not too much to say, as my colleague Molly Hemingway did yesterday, that both the leak of the opinion and the ensuing reaction on the left amount to yet another insurrection attempt. We had a caller say that earlier in the show. This time, the target is not the Donald Trump White House, but the Supreme Court. Now, in addition to the Democrats' political warfare, we're seeing another powerful and familiar tool on the left emerge, the violent mob. I talked about how there were riots in downtown LA. Now, I just want to skip to this part because he says, some have taken a rather more benign view of all this, suggesting that if the draft opinion is adopted and Roe is overturned, federalism will allow us to sort out our differences on abortion. Some states will ban it outright, as Texas and a dozen other states have prepared to do with so-called trigger laws. Some will enshrine abortion access in law, as California has already done. Once we are all sorted, the two sides can live and let live. But I do not think it will happen quite like that. Now, this goes into what this last caller just said, okay? One reason is that the left will not allow it. To the left, abortion is sacred. More than any other political issue or policy preference, it encapsulates a worldview that insists on limitless personal autonomy and recognizes no unchosen obligations. It declares that some people deserve absolutely no protection under the law. In that sense, it transcends politics. It is a kind of creed, an inversion of our founding creed. All men are not created equal. And John Daniel Davidson, I've linked this in my recommended reading, but he goes on to explain how this same thing happened in the United States with slavery. You can't have a country where half of the people think all men are created equal and half of the people don't believe that. You have to be on the same wavelength when it comes to that. So the left is really obsessed and just like that person said, they think of this as a religion, the right to have an abortion. And there was a cut here that I'll play later on in the show where parents are talking about, it was on ABC and it was outside the court. Parents were talking about the idea that their toddler might grow up without the choice of abortion. They really do glamorize and hold up this act on such a pedestal. It's very strange. Sherry, you're next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Sherry.
Hi, Grace. How are you today?
I'm good. What's going on?
Well, I just wanted to know if anybody has pointed out the absolute hypocrisy of our esteemed vice president today for the speech that she gave. How dare we do this and how dare we do that after they've shoved this COVID shot around everybody's throat and the masks and everything else? That's something to do with my body as well. It should have been my choice.
Yeah, a lot of people are pointing that out, that suddenly the people who wanted you to get this COVID vaccine and shut up and you couldn't complain about it, and now they're all about my body, my choice. It is a really good point. And I think it just once again makes the left's argument exceptionally weak when it comes to this. Sherry, thanks for the call. Let's go to Ed. Ed, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Ed.
Hey, Grace. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay. I got a question. Has anybody asked the question, what if this was one of the justices that leaked this instead of a staffer?
Yes. So I think what people are assuming, and I have seen that, Ed, I've actually seen it floated that it could have been a conservative justice. I don't really understand the theory on that, where that goes, but I have seen it. I've seen all of it. But the one that most people are going towards is a clerk, a law clerk of one of the justices. And there have been names floated. I'm not going to say them here, but that people who are friendly with the reporters at Politico and people have found old tweets and things like that, that it could have been one of those people, but it also could have been a justice. It absolutely could have been. I don't think that's out of bounds. There's nothing nowadays that would surprise me. I think I stopped being surprised by the justices when Sotomayor was spouting off fake news about the CDC and about kids getting COVID. That's when I was like, wow, so these justices really don't have a grasp of the facts. Can we get the Disinformation Governance Board to monitor the Supreme Court? 844-500-4242. We'll keep taking your calls on this. We'll be right back. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. Grace Curley, she's working for you.
I'm like Bette Midler and For the Boys. Gotta keep the troops entertained.
Stay on the lines if you're there. We're gonna get right to your calls in a second, but I have to play one of these cuts because I can't get over this. Joe Biden is talking about the leaked SCOTUS draft. And this is what he says about abortion. This is the devout Catholic Joe Biden's take on abortion. Cut 22.
As I said when I when this hit as I was getting on the plane to go down to Alabama, this is about a lot more than abortion. I hadn't read the whole opinion at that time. But this reminds me of the debate with Robert Bork. Bork believed the only reason you had any inherent rights was because the government gave them to you. If you go back and look at the opening comments of the Bork-Biden when I was questioning him as chairman, I said, I believe I have the rights that I have, not because the government gave them to me, which you believe, but because I'm just a child of God. I exist. I delegated by joining this union here to delegate some obligation, some rights I have to the governments for social good.
Okay, so let me get this straight. We're now at the point in the presidency where he's quoting himself from decades ago, which is wonderful. He is the Forrest Gump of the White House, so he's the most important part of every story. I've said it before, I'll say it again. He's the bride at every wedding. He's the corpse at every funeral. So he has to be the center of every single story he tells. That's just number one. Number two is, in your defense of abortion as a devout Catholic, you are going to use the defense of, I'm a child of God. And I don't want to get into, and, you know, I don't mind getting into it, but the religious aspect of all of this, I know that's going to drive a lot of calls. And if people want to talk about it, wonderful. But I do want to point out one thing that I keep thinking of. And a woman texted this in yesterday. I'm terrible at reading the text line, but I do think it's valid. She said she works at a church. She works with a lot of priests. And she said they all vote Democrat. They're all big phonies. And I do have to point out, if you're someone who is a priest or the Pope, for example, and you've kind of backed this liberal ideology and you haven't said anything and you haven't stood against it, and you've said, you know, we can't really endorse a candidate. We just have to kind of, we're just blah, blah, blah. And you have no issue with it. What did you expect to happen? Like, how do you defend this now? This is your guy. This is, and I'm not saying all priests, all nuns, all whatever, that they support Joe Biden. But I have to imagine that they're looking at this guy going, oh my gosh, this is the devout Catholic president that we wanted. And he's talking about how abortions are okay because he's a child of God. I don't know about that. Dave, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Dave.
Good afternoon, Grace. You know, he's just a bumbling fool, you know, just listening to what that last take was you had about him. But I wanted to talk about the argument I'm a science guy, work in healthcare. Come on, man. You crack me up. So, not a joke. So, I'm a science guy, work in healthcare, and they always talk about follow the science. So the argument I get from people who want the right to have an abortion is, when is a child or a baby? When is it life? And I say at conception. That is when meiosis starts. That's when cell division starts, and that's when the person is being developed right then and there. So you're basically killing a child or soon to be child. It's not viable, but they're taking it from the person's womb.
Yeah, and that's the entire conversation that the left doesn't want to have. And I think that for a long time, people felt, and if people disagree with this, after we're going to have Jennifer Oliver O'Connell on, we haven't had her on in a long time, I'm very excited about it, but we can continue this debate. But I think how I felt for a long time is, what people want to do, they want to do, leave me out of it, leave me alone. But you do get to, you see how it's a slippery slope. You know, the left loves to talk about how this is going to mean we're going to separate people again based off race because Roe versus Wade is going to be overturned. Well, I think a slippery slope is you make abortions legal, and then suddenly now we're talking about aborting kids who are aborting babies that are already born. Talk about a slippery slope. That's a slippery slope I'm most concerned about. 844-500-4242. Red State's Jennifer Oliver O'Connell joins us next to talk about how we went from not being able to define what a woman is to being the protectors of women. Don't go anywhere. It's the Grace Curley Show.
Struggling.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
What happens if you have a state change the law saying that children who are LGBTQ can't be in classrooms with other children? Is that legit under the way the decision is written? What are the next things that are going to be attacked? Because this MAGA crowd is really the most extreme political organization that's existed in American history.
You know, Joe Biden doesn't do well when he's riffing about his baseball days. But when he's going rogue on topics like abortion, you know there's going to be some bad sound from that.
True international average of pressure.
It's interesting to look at the left right now because as Biden is dealing with all of these problems that he created and that he made worse since becoming president, suddenly they have a new topic to latch on to and to really scream and tear their hair out about. And that would be that Roe versus Wade hangs in the balance, according to the leaked document from the Supreme Court. Joining us now to talk about the shift from protecting women or not being able to define women to protecting women is Jennifer Oliver O'Connell from Red State. Jennifer, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Well, thank you, Grace, for having me. It's been a while.
It has been a while, Jennifer. We've missed you. So let's talk about this. How can Congress, as you put it, protect a woman's right to choose when they are incapable of defining what a woman is? Do you think this is going to pose a problem for Democrats?
I think it is. Because people have been paying attention. Thank you, COVID. You know, that's one silver lining about the whole COVID pandemic is that people have been paying attention to what these elected leaders and unelected bureaucrats have been saying. And you have a Supreme Court now justice in Ketanji Brown Jackson, who basically told a senator, well, I can't answer the question of what a woman is. I'm not a biologist. And it is amazing that, you know, suddenly everybody agreed with her. Oh, yeah, she's not a biologist. She can't define this. It's amazing how many people boned up, went to Acme and got those instant biology degrees because now suddenly, oh, you know, we must protect women. Roe hangs in the balance. Oh, no, this is an awful thing toward women. Vote for us and we will protect women. Women are suddenly on the table again.
Yeah, we are. And it is amazing to see that shift. It happened so quickly. You talk a little bit, Jennifer, about what you describe as the bloodlust of abortion. Can you explain what you mean to the audience?
The bloodlust, basically, they're a party of death. I mean, I've seen this from the days when I was young and childbearing. It's all about death, death, death. And it used to be, oh, well, you must preserve your right to choose. You know, we want to make it legal, safe, and rare. Now it's, yeah, kill your baby up to seven days after it's born. This is a California law that actually passed the health committee and is going to the floor, or a California bill that is going to the floor of the Assembly and the Senate to be voted on and made law. That a woman can kill her baby after 7 days after it's born. The language is loose, undefined. This is where this party has come. It's like, we just want to kill children. Who cares about, you know, about an unborn child? It's about a woman's autonomy and her right to choose. And it's a bloodlust. It has nothing to do with science, kind of like COVID. It has nothing to do with reason. It just has to do with, this is my right and I'm going to take it.
Yeah, and there was an interesting conversation happening yesterday with Kristen Welker. She had a pro-life activist on, and she was trying to say, well, you know, in the cases of late-term abortion, it's only because of, you know, if the baby's at risk of the mother. And what the pro-life activist was trying to explain to her is that's just not true. That is not what has been said. That is not what has been promoted by the left. Jennifer, I also want to ask you about another part of this column, which people can read at redstate.com. They can also read it in my recommended reading for today. You talk about another thing that is back on the table, and that would, of course, be the slogan we've all heard time and time again, which is my body, my choice. Why do you think it suddenly left us for about 2 years?
Well, they wanted to push the vaccines, let people die, suppressed therapies that could have helped. And when these unelected bureaucrats were allowed to do this, and sadly, we in many of these states allow them to just go ahead and do it. When they were allowed to do this, they basically, it's like, well, we are taking away body autonomy. No, you don't have a right over your body when you want to go to work. No, you don't have a right over your body when you need to engage in the public square. People who were on the front lines before they knew what the heck this was, saving people's lives, making a difference, suddenly are now, oh, you won't get vaccinated? Well, you know, we don't care about your natural immunity. Just you've lost your job and all of your pension. So body autonomy went out the window, a slogan that the left and Democrats constantly championed for in place of abortion rights, my body, my choice, suddenly went out the window. And the right picked it up saying, hey, I thought it was my body, my choice. Now, certainly the left wants to take it up again now that, quote unquote, you know, Roe v. Wade is going to be off the table. And they are as dishonest as that, you know, pro-choice at Christian Welker, the pro-life advocate, pointing out their lies. They're just as dishonest in this whole my body, my choice thing as well, because it's like you still have a choice. You can give the baby up for adoption. You have, or if, you know, for most of these states that are passing these laws, the Mississippi case, which is in question, it's 15 weeks. So planned is in your name, Planned Parenthood. Why don't you help women plan to make sure they get their, you know, divest themselves of their child by that 15-week mark? What's so hard about that? But they're making it sound like, oh, back alley abortions and people will be in danger and all of this stuff. And to that I say, well, did anybody forget about Kermit Gosnell? You know, 2010, that house of horrors under legal abortion when Roe was strongest in a state where Roe was strongest. And that was still horrors and back alley abortions and women dying. So people are paying attention. They know the arguments are disingenuous, and they also see how the left cavalierly dropped that whole my body, my choice during COVID and then suddenly want to pick it up again with abortion. They're not stupid. American people are not stupid, and they're paying attention to that.
I'm speaking with Jennifer Oliver O'Connell from Red State, and I think you just hit the nail on the head as far as the dishonesty goes, Jennifer, because even this argument that if Roe v. Wade is overturned, that somehow abortion is going to be impossible throughout this entire country is just not true. If anything, it brings the power back to the states. Why do you think the left has such a problem with that idea?
Because they want to control the narrative and the language on this topic. They want to continue to decide who lives and who dies. They want to continue to decide who votes for them and who gets pushed to the margins. That's what they want. If you bring it back to the state, then the country will work like the Constitution wanted it to work, that states will choose and decide on the laws that suit them. So if Florida, Alabama, Arkansas, Mississippi, Texas, if they want to set a law in motion saying we are a protected place where women can, you know, choose life and we don't accept death, then they can be that. And if California wants to keep killing kids up to 7 days after they're born and stupid legislatures vote that in, then that state will stand as it is. Again, it's up to the people of the state that they want. Yeah, they can elect who they want if they want it to go one way or the other. But the nature of the Constitution champions federalism, and this would be another strength putting federalism back in place as the Constitution intended.
Jennifer, it's interesting to see the fundraising that's happened after this leak. It wasn't as high as I think a lot of Democrats expected. And this brings me to my last question for you is, do you think this will work? I mean, this is just one of so many different tactics we've seen from a very desperate Democratic Party right now. And every single time they're pushing this narrative based off fear. If you don't go along with us, if you don't vote for us, bad things will happen. Well, now their new plan is, you know, abortions will not be allowed in the United States of America. Some people are even saying that, you know, lives are at stake, like women's lives are at stake if they can't get abortions. So do you think this will work with the left's base?
It's working already in terms of the base, because look at the riots in Los Angeles. These were pro-choice activists out pushing at cops, causing violence, causing destructions, a la 2020 with the George Floyd riots. The intention, whoever leaked this, was to start to foment their base. because they saw that, oh, things are slipping away from us. People are actually paying attention to the fact that they can't fill their gas tanks. They're paying attention to the fact that they, you know, that it's Biden's fault that we don't have energy independence and that our grocery prices are skyrocketing. So they needed to change the script, and boy, have they chosen to done that, to do that. Will it continue to work? I doubt it, because people still can't fill their gas tanks. People still cannot care for their own children and all of that, and, you know, the children that they already have, let alone children that, you know, may or may not exist at any point in time before November. I think that I have no idea when they're going to hand down the final decision. Once the final decision is handed down, and if it is portentous to what has already been presented in the draft opinion, then I think, hey, things are kind of going to calm down. And also, I said in not this article, but another article that I run in Red State announcing this whole draft thing in the league, that conservatives need to have a valid argument and need to have a valid pushback, like Kristen Welker did, against these lies. And there is more of a voice, there is more of a platform for that pushback. It's no longer being suppressed. Again, people are paying attention, and not to CNN and MSNBC. So I think November is going to look totally different than what anybody thinks it's going to look, and I don't see it going well for the left, no matter how much they're trying to push these lies and fundraise and foment anger.
Jennifer Oliver O'Connell, it's always a pleasure. We hope to have you on again soon. Everyone can follow Jennifer on Twitter at As the Girl Turns, and also read her work at redstate.com. She writes about everything, anything that's going on in politics, in pop culture. She's got a hot take on it, so make sure you check that out. Jennifer, we hope to have you on again soon.
Thanks, Grace. Good talking with you.
You as well. When people finally decide it's time to sell their real estate, what is their first step? Well, most people contact a real estate agent and traditionally list their property for sale. However, what most people don't realize is that in a traditional listing, you really have to sell the property twice. The first sale is to the buyer, and the second sale is to that buyer's bank. If your property does not appraise at the offer price, then the deal could die or the price could lower. In addition, you may have stigmatized your property and lost valuable marketing time. In a J.J. Manning auction, there are no bank appraisal concerns. All of their buyers are cash ready, and their 10% deposit is non-refundable. At auction, your real estate is sold once, and the terms are unwavering. So why not sell at auction, where the bidding always goes up, instead of listing and possibly negotiating down? To learn more on how to get your property sold, whether it's land, residential, commercial, to get it sold quickly, contact Charlie Gill at 800-521-0111 or go to jjmanning.com. With over 16,000 sales and satisfied clients, you can be the next one. Call Charlie today at 800-521-0111 or go to jjmanning.com and get your property sold. When we come back, what do I want to talk about? I think I want to talk a little bit about Randy Weingarten, Twitter, George Soros. Oh, we have so much to get to and so little time. Don't go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Who's better than Grace Curley?
Nobody. Nobody. Nobody.
This is The Grace Curley Show.
Today's poll question is brought to you by the Freedom Model for Addictions program. Gain total freedom from addiction and educate yourself on what you need to do in order to break the habits that are affecting your personal relationships, your work productivity, and your health. Go to freedommodel.org and use code GRACE to save $50. That's freedommodel.org. Jared, what is the poll question, and what are the results thus far?
Do you think the SCOTUS leak will save the Dems in the midterms?
No, I do not.
92% of the audience believes no. 8% believe yes, it will.
But it's not the only thing, Jared, that they have going right now in their arsenal. They also have the student loan debt cancellation idea. Here's the issue, though. I think anyone who's going to be very excited about canceling the student loan debt, it's the same base that's going to be reinvigorated by this Roe v. Wade debate. So
they'll keep their heads warm with the same pink hats, if you know what I mean.
Yes. And it's almost like getting Kamala Harris to be your VP. You're not really winning over any new minds there. It's all the same voters who would have turned out for Kamala anyway, because she's from California. So let's play. This is an update on the student loan debt cancellation from none other than Jen Psaki, which, by the way, we might have to get one of those massive clocks like they have in Times Square about global warming. But this one will be counting down the time until Jen goes to MSNBC, because that's going to be a sad day for us when we don't have any more Psaki cuts to play. This is Jen. Cut seven, please, Jared.
What does the administration think are adequate income caps for any of the student forgiveness programs?
Well, the president talked back on the campaign about taking steps or looking at steps to help people making less than $125,000 a year. So that is the frame through which he's making considerations at this point.
Yeah, that's going to go over well with people, I'm sure. They're just, I mean, there's so many Hail Marys right now that maybe one of them is going to succeed, but I don't think so. I think if anything, you're just exposing how desperate you are to win over any voters come November. Dan, you're next up. You've been waiting a while. Go ahead, Dan.
Thank you for taking the call, Grace. I think a lot of that's based on just complete lack of accomplishment, and they've got to reach out and try to find a juicy narrative. And I think by coming up with Roe versus Wade, that they got one. But what they really got to look at is that the liberals who want to have their children call them babies, but the ones that don't and they want to, you know, take care of it, they call them fetuses. So how can you have that discernment when you want the child, it's a baby? But when it isn't appropriate, it's now a fetus. And, of course, all of that's tied into stem cell research. And then, let's face it, the abortion clinics.
Yeah, but Dan, hold on. I want to cut you there for one sec here, because Joe Biden merged the two. He has no problem calling the child a child. Listen to this cut.
What happens if you have a state changes the law saying that children who are LGBTQ can't be in classrooms with other children? Is that legit under the way that the...
No, I want the one where he said to abort a child based on a decision by the Supreme Court. I think that goes way too overboard, because the National Review wrote about it and they said, abort a what? This is the first time I can recall hearing a pro-abortion politician acknowledge what takes place in an abortion procedure. A child is aborted, not a clump of cells, not a part of the mother, a child. And I think, Dan, that goes to your point that this is something that we're not all, you know what Brian Stelter would say? We're not all having a shared reality. Some people are in a different reality than others. 844-500-4242. Thank you for the call, Dan. When we get back, I want to hear from everyone. I want to talk about inflation. I want to talk about the Hunter Biden laptop. And I want to talk about George Soros versus Elon Musk, because I know which fighter I'm choosing. We'll be right back. This is The Grace Curley Show.